This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's have a talk about communist violence. Why? How the media presents it, how the media encourages it, and things like that. But I'm going to do a little experiment with you first, all right? Just a little experiment. It involves no thought whatsoever, so don't worry about it. We're just going to do a first answer that pops into your head. Yes or no, okay? It's a yes or no thing. First answer that pops into your head. Let me ask you something. Do you consider Captain America, the fictional character, do you consider him to be a violent man? I ask that because most people, their first answer to that question is no. I mean, obviously, he's running and jumping and fighting and doing these things, but most people would say no. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that, all right? There's an interview that's been making the rounds. It's about 5 years old, but it's a very, very revealing interview. AOC, that loser congresswoman from the Bronx, is sitting down with Megan Rapinoe, the crazy feminist lesbian soccer player. They're all sitting around having a lovely little chat about how America's burning and crumbling. And there's a moment in this I thought I would bring up for the purpose of our conversation. Here it was.
Perhaps we are in the downfall of the broken way. This was not built to last. Inequity, injustice is not built to last. It lasts a long time. It could last hundreds of years, but ultimately it crumbles into this, you know, a small cohort of incompetent people that create damage. And from that, something new can spring. And so maybe something is declining right now, but maybe it deserves to decline.
Pretty revealing little moment. Maybe you haven't seen that clip before. But I want to just point out again, like I mentioned before, you see that? When AOC described everything crumbling down, everything you love, everything around you, she got that look. Well, you're looking at it right now on the screen. That look that everyone knows. What is that look? That is a look of satisfaction. A job well done. I made the comparison when I pull a brisket off of the smoker. If I've done it perfectly, and I know it, that is the exact look I get on my face. I did it. Job well done. Communists are violent by their very nature because their religion is a religion of destruction. Always. There's no end to the destruction either. Communists will try to sell you on their communism by always promising that they will build something new and lovely on the back end, of course. And in a while, we're going to build something new. Of course, that never, ever comes, though. It's just destroy everything all the time. And this could be so hard for decent, good people to understand because they can't relate in any way to that way of thinking. Who wants to burn down everything? I'll have people ask me questions about the various things, former things that were good that communists have taken over, like the Boy Scouts, you know, the Boy Scouts. And now it's for women, if it, and people, Jesse, why would they come for the Boy Scouts? They come for everything. Everything. The communist looks around and he sees things to destroy that you don't even notice. Things that you don't even notice. He looks and he sees, oh, I bet I could burn that down. That's how he thinks. It's very, very difficult for normal people to understand that. And because that's how he thinks, because the goal is the destruction of everything, he is violent by necessity because there is no nonviolent way to destroy things. It doesn't matter what it is. This piece of paper right here. If I want to destroy this piece of paper, how would I do it? Maybe I would have to light it on fire. Maybe I could tear it up into little bitty bits, but there's no nonviolent way to do it. I can't sit and pray for it. I can't wish it to go away. I can't. If I want to destroy this piece of paper, I must commit acts of violence to destroy the piece of paper. And that's why the American Democrat speaks about violence and talks about violence and thinks about violence in a way that is just, well, that's how it has to be. I asked you the question about Captain America because this is my point. Most people, and I've done this 10 times in the last day as an experiment, and 10 out of 10 said no. Most people say no, Captain America isn't violent. But why do you consider him nonviolent? I've personally watched in the movies and read in comic books, I've watched this guy beat up and kill God knows how many people, aliens, enemies, Nazis, whatever. By any measure, if you actually thought about it, you would say that's a violent man, but you don't consider him violent because he's committing acts of violence for the good guys and against the bad guys. That's why you consider him nonviolent. That's why the left loves this Luigi guy. You remember United Healthcare Insurance Company, their CEO, a father of two. A father of two little children. He was murdered by this vicious communist named Luigi. And something has happened since then. Luigi's gotten popular, quite famous. Women send him love letters. The left can't really bring themselves to outright condemn what he did. And even if they do, it's something along the lines of, well, I mean, yeah, it's not good to kill somebody, but, you know, if it... I thought this little interview with Taylor Lorenz on CNN was pretty revealing.
So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh my God, right? Like, here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a... person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find. They want somebody to take on the system. They want somebody to tear down these barbaric establishment institutions.
Hey, seems like a good dude. And I mean, yeah, I don't condone what he did, but he seems like a good dude. And I mean, someone had to step in. After all, it's the forces of evil. Captain America isn't violent. He's fighting for the good guys. He's got to beat up some Nazis when you're fighting good guys. And this isn't unique to Taylor Lorenz or CNN. We'll get back to them in a moment. This is how American communists, American Democrats, this is how the majority of them think. Even the average, normal, run-of-the-mill Democrat, that Democrat in your family, in your workplace, at some level believes in violence. Look back. See what they were saying about masking, vaccinations. I remember like it was yesterday, poll after poll came out showing Democrats, half the majority of them wanted you thrown in a quarantine camp. They wanted government agents showing up at your home, throwing you in the back of a paddy wagon and hauling you off to a concentration camp if you didn't do what you're told. And of course, they would have been standing behind the truck waving at you, feeling 100% certain that they're the good guys as you went off to camp. Communists are all violent. It is a violent, demonic religion of destruction and domination. And I wanted to have this talk with you because there is something happening right now. It's very, very, very obvious. I don't know if you saw that story in Wisconsin, teenager, murderer's parents. I'm sure you saw the vandalism of Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania's home. We'll get to that in a moment as well. Obviously, you know about the Luigi story. You know about the two assassination attempts of Donald Trump. You know about the... So I'm here to tell you this. This is really the point of all this. Communist violence is now increasing, and it will continue to increase in the coming days and months. They feel as if they don't have the presidency. They feel as if Trump is attacking their base. their financial base, their base of support in his efforts to clean out the government. They feel uniquely attacked. Therefore, they feel uniquely warranted in committing acts of violence against you and people on the right. And as the violence of communism increases, you will see our very evil media, our evil system. You will see something. In fact, it's already happening. They're laying it out in front of you. As communist violence rises, it gets worse and worse and worse, and people die and they're hurt and they're vandalized, and they die and they're hurt and they're vandalized. As violent communism rises, the media knows it can't cover it up. The American media doesn't have that kind of control anymore to completely ignore it or completely cover it up. You can see it. You have eyes, you have ears. Everyone can see the Teslas burning, the swastikas being carved into things. Everyone knows what's happening. So what can the media do? If they can't keep it from your eyes, if they can't hide it from you, what do you do? Well, it's quite simple, really. There's only one thing you can do. Act like it's everybody, you see. It's everybody. Don't you do this? Haven't you ever done this with your wife or your husband, or your girlfriend, boyfriend, when you're having a fight? Maybe you have a big old knockdown, drag-out fight, and maybe it's your fault. And at some point, maybe right away, maybe you realize it's your fault. What's the end goal of that fight? If it's your fault, yet you're in fight mode? Oh, hey, we both said some things we regret. All right, we both did some things wrong. If it's all your fault, what you do is you grab the innocent party and you lump them in with you. We all made mistakes here. Here's CNN.
What we're looking at here is obviously, you know, when it comes to extremism in this country, I mean, the issue very much so is on the right, on the far right, from, you know, from Charlottesville to January 6th. There isn't exactly an equivalent on the left in this moment.
Hey, it's the right. I mean, look, some things on the left, but January 6th, of course. And look, Governor Shapiro had his home torched by an arsonist. We all know what was going on. We all know exactly what was going on. And he knows too. He's no dummy, but he's a Democrat. He has to play that middle of the road role in Pennsylvania, but he's a Democrat. And so he couldn't get up and say, hey, I know it was you, leftists. I know it was you. I know it was one of you Hamas lovers. I know. He couldn't get up and say that. He had to do that. Kind of all of us thing.
This type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other, directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. And it has to stop.
What a benign, completely useless statement. And that's what it's designed to be, you see. It's not okay, and it's everybody. Both sides are doing it. It's definitely just not one side. It's both sides, and it's not okay. He knows exactly where it's coming from. He knows exactly why. But he also knows this. And this is the hard part. This is hard for you, it's hard for me, it's hard for the country. You can't get violence out of the communist. It's their religion. You can't get it out of them. You can't ever, it doesn't matter what you do, you could give them all the power in the world, they'll just create concentration camps and slaughter millions of you. If you take away all their power, they'll just find little street mobs to murder this person and burn this thing down. You can't get it out of them. Communism is violence is not what communists do. It's who they are. It is woven into their religion. Because again, I can't destroy this piece of paper in a nonviolent way. When your religion tells you to destroy everything, you will inherently be violent. Post his address. Someone post this guy's address. How many times have you seen some Democrat, maybe someone you know, say that online? Violence. They can't help themselves. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I slept so good. I don't mean to brag. Look, okay, I do mean to brag, but I sleep good all the time now. Unless, of course, I forget to have my Beam. You see, I have dream powder from Beam. I know that there are endless things that are sold as helping you sleep, and full disclosure, they will. All kinds of things. Doctor will write you a prescription for something. You can go into the gas station anymore and buy something that will put you to sleep, no question. But all those things have the same thing in common. You sleep, but you wake up and want to die because you're so tired and groggy. Dream powder is different because it's natural. Reishi and melatonin and all kinds of things. It's a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it. You will just sleep like a baby, and when you wake up, you will feel so good. Sound good? ShopBeam.com/JesseKelly saves you a fortune.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Well, I have outstanding news. I mean, it's not breaking news. We've already talked about it on the show. But what have we said over and over and over again? That it's red states that constantly fail the United States of America. And part of our failure is the loser senators we send to Washington, D.C. Red states, states like my own, like Texas. But Texas isn't alone. The Carolinas, the Dakotas, I could go down the list. Red states routinely send the biggest weenie losers to Washington, D.C. we can find. We could have anybody we want. And so we need to change that. And the only way to change that is a primary. But it's hard to primary a United States senator. It's very difficult. It takes money. You have to have the ability to raise money. You have to be already known. You can't, as much as I hate this, you can't come out of nowhere and challenge a United States senator. You need the right circumstances. And we have it. Gosh, I'm so happy right now. Joining me now, the current attorney general for the state of Texas, and a good one, and a man who is doing exactly what we've talked about forever, Attorney General Ken Paxton, who is challenging John Cornyn in Texas. I'm so happy you're here. I don't think I've ever said that to anybody, but I'm just so thrilled you're here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. It's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah. Why do this?
You know, it's interesting. I'm getting all this pushback from the Washington establishment about why I shouldn't do it, because there's really no difference. Cornyn is just as good as anybody else. And I'm, my answer is no, he's not. If you look at his 23 years in the Senate, look at his 40 years in office, there's nothing that you look at and you say, hey, this guy really represents Texans, especially Texas primary voters, the way we want to be represented. And so after 23 years, I can say it's been a failure. I can't point to things that he's done that I'm proud of. I can talk about things that he has done that I wished he hadn't done. And so there's no reason. Maybe if he's from Maine, we're okay with this. But if we're from Texas, we need somebody more like Ted Cruz, not somebody like John Cornyn, who just goes along to get along and answers to Washington and not the Texas voters.
No, you're 100% right about that. It's something that I've implored my fellow Texans and all red staters about, that we owe the country better than what we give them. Like you pointed out, Maine, Alaska. Okay, that's going to be what it's going to be. Texas should be sending the most blood red conservative you could possibly find. And John Cornyn's there leading the charge on gun control?
Well, exactly. And I can tell you this. I mean, no Democratic president, including Joe Biden, is going to be congratulating me on work that I've done for, you know, the country. And that's exactly what happened with John Cornyn when he pushed through his gun legislation that restricted ownership and restricted gun rights. This is a guy that was congratulated by Joe Biden. That tells you exactly what you need to know. That's never going to happen with me.
What happens to these people when they go to D.C.? Because obviously, you know, when you're a senator from a state like Texas, we'll just make it about Texas, you understand who the people of Texas are and what they want. Why do you lose your mind in Washington, D.C.? Is it the power? Is it the money? What is it?
I think it does happen that people change, but I don't think that's John Cornyn's story. I think when he got elected during the Bush reign, he was exactly what he wanted. We were just trying to elect Republicans. We hadn't had very many Republicans in Texas. We elected John Cornyn. He was a Bush guy, and he was there to do what the Bushes wanted him to do. He still is. And the reality is now we are a solid Republican state, and we don't have to accept that we're just going to have a guy that go up there and has the R by his name. He's going to vote, you know, somewhat Republican, but he's not going to get the job done. And he's going to do things like oppose the border wall. He is going to oppose Donald Trump, both personally as an elected official, but also on many of his issues. And he is going to pass restrictive gun legislation, and that's not what we need from Texas.
How's the GOP response been, both inside the state and nationally? I say this as someone who has challenged an establishment guy for Congress and felt what that's like with all the big money people, all the big shots telling you, you have to wait your turn, you can't do this. I remember all the lines. I'm sure you've gotten all of them.
I've gotten them all, and mostly from outside of Texas, mostly from, you know, Senate leadership and other, you know, establishment people, some within Texas that were definitely part of that establishment group. But the majority of Texans that I've talked to are very excited. I mean, I didn't just like come up with this idea. I've been out testing. I've been out talking. I've been out meeting with hundreds of Republicans. And every time I brought it up, it was an overwhelmingly positive response. We are desperate for a change. We are desperate after 24 years of John Cornyn to have a choice. And so that's what this is. This is a choice, and I can guarantee this. John Cornyn is not going to run on his record. He's not going to, because he can't. He's not going to run on my record. This is all going to be personal attacks, and that's what he's all about. He cannot stand on his own two feet. And the only thing he can say is, you know, now I'm supporting Trump after criticizing him for the last, you know, 8 years. Now, Johnny come lately, John Cornyn is in the fold for the president for the first time ever, and that's going to last how long? It's going to last until we're done with the elections.
Well, of course. He was asked about you. Here's what he said. I'm sure you've seen it.
Do you have any level of concern about Paxton running to the right of you in this primary?
Well, the biggest potential loser is President Trump's agenda. I've been a supporter of the president during his first term of office, and that's continued during his current term. Mr. Paxton has a checkered background. He is a con man and a fraud, and I think the people of Texas know that.
It's also predictable and tired. You already pointed out what it's going to be. It's going to be a never-ending commercial spree of Trump, Trump, Trump. I love Trump. I love Trump. Even though he's done everything in his power to undermine everything the Make America Great Again agenda is, it's going to be Donald Trump's name as he desperately sucks up trying to earn that endorsement.
Well, he just talked about fraud and a con man. That's exactly what we just saw there, talking about, I've been a big supporter of Donald Trump from the beginning. That is a con job, and that is a fraudulent statement. That is not true. He said in 2016, when Trump was our nominee, that he was an albatross around our neck. And this time, he insinuated that he was a criminal. Of course, John was a judge, and he should know better than to insinuate that people are criminals without proof, which is what he did in my case and in the president's case. And then, of course, he said that he would not be supporting Donald Trump and that we should have a better new nominee. So just looking at what he said in that clip, that's what you call a fraudulent statement. That's what you call a con man. And that's supposedly what I am. And there he is, lying to the public and lying to Texans.
All right, where do we go from here? Give the people watching details, because this is a national race that has national implications. Taking out one of these losers is really important for the whole country. So the people watching, what can they do? Can they do anything? When is all this?
Oh, look, this is going to be a battle of Texas versus Washington establishment. And the money is going to come from all over the country for John Cornyn. He'll have plenty of money from outside sources. He will raise some money in Texas, but my money is going to have to come from the grassroots all over the country. And I am convinced that we can raise enough. We don't have to outraise him. We just have to be in the game of something 2-1, 3-1. Within that range, we can beat John Cornyn, and we can win this election.
Where do people go?
kenpaxton.com, and you can go donate right there and start the momentum. Small contributions are we want them because it shows support. It shows the difference between me and him, because he will not be getting those small contributions, not in any large volume.
kenpaxton.com. If you got $5, give it. You got 500, give it. This is critically important. I'm asking you to do it. How many times do I do that? I never do that. I'm doing it right now. Mr. Attorney General, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm very much behind you. Go get them. We need you to win. We cannot survive as a country if we continue to lose our testosterone. And I know this is an uncomfortable conversation. I do. But you should understand that we've lost 50% of our testosterone levels in the last 50 years. Now, that's not your fault. That's something else going on. Look, there's estrogen in the water, a lot of it now, estrogen that was never there before. It's evaporating our T levels. So how do we fix that? How do we fight back? We can't continue like this. That's what a male vitality stack from Chalk can do for you. Natural herbal supplements of the highest quality. Go get a subscription. 2-3 months, you're going to feel like a brand new person. Believe me, it's life-changing. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. Get a subscription so you save a pile of money. Go. You will feel better shortly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
My mission is clear. I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. That overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you. We're standing up for you. We're fighting on. We're not going down silent. Victory, my friends, is clear. It's now. And I'm not waiting 4 years. I'm waiting two, until a speaker by the name of Hakeem Jeffries comes to bring us some rest. Come on, ladies. It's up to us. We saved this democracy before. We'll save it now. Let's go.
I don't know if that was hard for you, but it's hard for me. If she was in my ear, I almost had to take this out. It's just so obnoxious. Joining me now, my buddy Mike Cernovich, filmmaker, author. Actually has another one coming, which I'm going to ask him about here in just a moment. Mike, on top of the fact she's obnoxious, what do you make of all this? She going down for mortgage fraud or something? What's happening with all this?
Yeah, everyone knows if you're conservative, filing for a mortgage application is very stressful because mortgage brokers would just throw in any kind of number and you have to say, no, you can't do this. You don't get me involved in some kind of nonsense because of your scummy agency. And with Letitia James, it was she, not the mortgage broker, who falsified data, allegedly, although it looks quite strong to me, in a mortgage application. There were multiple issues that could not be attributed to errors or that she couldn't blame the mortgage broker for. And now she is facing investigation for that, as she should.
Okay, Mike, you're a lot more well-versed in the law and most things than I am. What are we looking at here? Is she going to prison? Is she going to get a little $500 fine? What kind of charges are we looking at here for this stuff?
Well, they can, if you look at how they charge cases, these can be charged aggressively because they can be charged not just as mortgage fraud, but also money laundering. And if you look at how they charge the Trump cases, you can make it a very simple case that would plead down to a misdemeanor, or they could make it multiple felonies, because the Dinesh case, I think, was illustrative. Dinesh was indicted for allegedly using straw donors to help a friend's campaign. And he said, I'm going to go to trial. So then what happened was the SDNY, under that really scuzzy guy, I forget his name, but he really is a real scummy lowlife guy. And then he refiled the case to say, well, because you use straw donors, you knowingly got someone to file a federal tax return that was false, and that's a mandatory minimum of 5 years. And that's why Dinesh ended up pleading guilty. So there are a lot of different ways that cases like these can be charged. Ordinarily, it would be a felony that you would plead down to a misdemeanor, and she would have to be disbarred because it would be considered a crime of moral turpitude since it was a financial fraud. So if I'm boring, you just interrupt me. But if you're a lawyer, you're not just subject to the criminal laws of the land, of course, but you're subject to state bar jurisdiction. So if you file a false mortgage application that isn't your mortgage broker doing funny business after you've filled it out honestly, then you would be guilty of a crime of moral turpitude because that would be financial fraud. And then, of course, you would be disbarred, although, as we've seen, states like California and New York and D.C. have a different set of standards for Democrat lawyers than for Republicans.
Yeah, what a shock. All right, I'm thrilled that at least one scumbag might be facing some form of justice, right? I'll take anything I can get at this point in time. What do you make right now of the job Pam Bondi, we're going to focus on her specifically, of the job she's doing? I'm not a lawyer. I'm doing the best I can to be patient. And I'm telling myself every night, Mike, when I go to bed, that she's just busy crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and government indictments are coming down soon. This government person's going to be arrested, and this government person's going to be arrested. That's what I tell myself so I can sleep at night, Mike. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to play the whole as a lawyer card because I never like to do that because I'm not Douglas Murray. But I'll say that as a lawyer – so it took you a second. You got that one. So as a lawyer with a fair amount of expertise on these issues, the issue that you have is – and Trump really had this problem in his first term – is all of the Department of Justice lawyers were pro-Biden regime. So Biden comes in. He has this fascist attorney general – and he's got all the line lawyers ready to file paperwork. Well, instead of those line lawyers properly enforcing the law under Bondi, they're sabotaging, they're slow walking, a bunch of them are resigning, they're all running through New York Times and throwing tantrums. So they just don't have the manpower that you would think. Ed Martin, for example, is his nomination to a U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia is being held up by Adam Schiff, a Russiagate collusion hoaxer. So if you're on the outside, you would say, my goodness, why is it that there were almost 100 J6ers already indicted at this time during Biden's administration, and we can barely get someone on a very clean case of mortgage fraud? And the answer is because every attorney hiring process starting under Barack Obama and the FBI and the DOJ was to get people into the Stasi. So they were all on board. They're ready to go. They're ready to frame people for crimes. And the Bondi administration is having trouble getting lawyers even confirmed to positions where they're needed. So this is not – I'm not a plan truster. Everybody – I always tell people, go read what I had to say about Trump during his first term, because people even try to dig up tweets to, like, get one over on me. And I was like, oh, no, I was very frustrated. I'm not a plan truster. But in this case, you really have – you have Bongino, you have Cash – and then you have everybody in there who's the Stasi. And if you look at Christopher Wray bragged about it, I believe 40% of current FBI employees were hired during the Biden regime, right? Mm. It's going to take a long time to unravel this and find out who's good and who isn't. So I think people should continue being aggressive in a civil way about these issues, but I don't think it's fair to compare the timeline of the Trump's second term with the Biden regime's first term.
Okay, that's fair. Is it reasonable to assume we will get these things at some point in the next 4 years, or is it too far gone, Mike? And I'm almost scared to ask the question because I'm afraid I think I already know what the answer is. Are there too many cancers in place to be removed?
The difficult question, and I think about this a lot too, is we're certainly not going to get what we want, but we're already getting things. Brian Otten, who was a would terrorize, you know, innocent Christian people. Chuck Grassley revealed him as one of the guys responsible for the Hunter Biden laptop cover-up scheme. He's been removed. So things are happening, but it's unfortunate that we're fighting personnel decisions that were a decade in the making. There are all these FBI agents and DOJ officials. Some of them have civil service protections, so you can't just come in and remove them. Judges are jamming everything up. So what we have to do is take the wins that we can, and we have to keep pushing. I do like the idea of impeaching judges, not because I think the Senate will convict them, because they absolutely will not, but because it'll give Congress jurisdiction to issue subpoenas. So if I'm you and I'm talking to Chip Roy and I'm talking to Britt, I'm just saying, like, in the hypothetical world, if I'm talking to these guys, I would say, look, we know the Senate's not going to convict Boasberg. We know this. But the only way that we can get jurisdiction and start issuing subpoenas to find out what is happening in that DC Stasi show trial Stalin fiefdom is to investigate impeachment, because then we have congressional oversight. We have congressional subpoena power. Then we can issue subpoenas to Judge Boasberg and say, how is it that these cases are randomly assigned, but you always seem to get them? Do you have the luckiest hand in the world? Should you start playing the lottery? Should you go to Vegas because you'd be a billionaire, become a stock trader? How is it that you're getting all these randomly assigned things? As of right now, no one has jurisdiction to demand answers. A Congress member, Jim Jordan or Chip Roy or somebody, can't just write a letter and get that information. But if there's an impeachment inquiry and there's a committee, that committee absolutely has jurisdiction, and they can start issuing subpoenas. And I can tell you that will put the fear of God into John Roberts and these DC judges. They will know that they have to respond to these subpoenas, or else the judges can be held in contempt by Congress. And then they can be indicted the way Steve Bannon was indicted for contempt of Congress. So we 100% what we need to do, the best thing we can do right now, is say, look, we know the Senate, we know Mitch isn't going to convict any of these judges. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. This is about Congress having jurisdiction and oversight and the power to start issuing subpoenas to get these judges under oath and to get this under control.
Who's Gonzalo Lira?
Great question. Apparently, nobody knows, because there was a guy who writes for The Atlantic, and he's always talking about how great Ukraine democracy is. And I go, well, what about Gonzalo Lira? And then he sanctimoniously says, well, how do you expect me to know about everybody? And then he said, I bet you that people at the Orange County shopping malls that you go to don't know who he is. Like, yeah, dumb, you're proving my point. You guys had a media blackout on Gonzalo Lira. And I consider Gonzalo Lira the litmus test for whether I consider someone to be a propagandist or a person who has a good faith debate with me about Ukraine, a good faith disagreement. You could say, as you and I could just say, hey, what was he doing going to Ukraine, making videos calling Zelensky a dictator, right? He's lucky he didn't get beat up, but then they killed him. They took him prisoner when he was trying to leave the country. This is all on video. And the Zelensky regime, the Ukrainians were so psychotic that instead of saying, thank goodness we got rid of this wacko, get him out of the country, what a problem, right? They instead decided to kidnap him, torture him, and kill him. And then, of course, when asked, they'll say he had a medical condition. When you would say, well, why didn't you get a medical treatment in the U.S.? So Gonzalo Lira is an American who made YouTube videos that the Zelensky regime didn't like. He was held in custody. He tried to leave the country when he was more or less told to by Ukrainian law enforcement, who said it would be a good idea if you kind of just disappeared. He tried to leave, he documented it all, and then he died in a hospital, a victim of torture of the Zelensky regime, the great democracy, and our great Western ally.
Our good friends. Mike, what's this movie? Are you allowed to talk about it yet, or am I not supposed to ask? Yeah. I didn't text you beforehand,
no.
So yell at me if I'm not supposed to ask.
I'm working on two. Yeah, I'm working on two. Okay. One is still under wraps, but the big one we're doing is about the meaning of life. And it's called Meaning, one word, and it's about the meaning of life. We just spent 2 months in the Amazon looking at what might have been megaliths with Timothy Alberino, tracing the origin of humanity. We looked at some people doing ayahuasca, talked to ayahuasca people. We're going to churches. We're talking to people of all different kinds of life, and trying to make a movie, which is It's an ambitious project, is one way to put it. Causes me a lot of stress would be another way to put it. Like, oh, I'm going to make a movie about the meaning of life. What a doucheroni, right? My God, you know, what a douche. Well, that's what we're trying to do, though.
Gosh, I want to go to the Amazon. Mike, I'll talk to you again soon, brother. Appreciate you. I hate that corporate America left us. And I hate that. I know I sound like an old man when I talk about that, but let me just say, for you younger people watching, it was not like this when I was a kid, and I'm not ancient, right? I'm 43 years old. You could turn on television, you wouldn't get any politics in the corporate ads. It was shoes and Gatorades and whatever, catchy jingles. There used to be jingles on TV. Now corporations use your money against you. It's frustrating, but we have to fight back. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, well, times have changed. We have to fight back. Who's your cell phone provider? Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile hate your guts. Switch to the cell phone company that's on the same 5G network and doesn't hate your guts. You'll save a fortune. You don't have to have a new phone or a new phone number. You save money. You switch. You patronize a company that actually loves you. Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. All right, let's talk about, well, it's going to be about the military, but it's about the communist purge here for a couple moments. Remember this. Remember, as we just talked about in the opening, these people are out to destroy, and they will destroy everything if they can. And they will most definitely destroy wherever they are. That's just how it works. If you bring a communist into your church will be destroyed by it. If you're bringing it into your business, your business will be destroyed by it because they will eat everything in front of them. They're like animals, really. That's really how you can really think about communists. And now let's talk about our military, you see. Because don't think for one second they drop the communist uniform when they put on the uniform of the United States of America. Not at all. They view their role everywhere, wherever they are. They view their role as fighting for the revolution. And don't think that changed when Donald Trump took over. And my point for this little talk we're about to have is that Pete Hegseth, who's doing a very good job, he will need all 4 years, and he will need to be vicious. Remember when J.D. Vance traveled to Greenland and said this?
What we think is going to happen is that the Greenlanders are going to choose through self-determination to become independent of Denmark, and then we're going to have conversations with the people of Greenland from there. So I think that talking about anything too far in the future is way too premature. We do not think that military force is ever going to be necessary. We think this makes sense. And because we think the people of Greenland are rational and good, we think we're going to be able to cut a deal, Donald Trump style, to ensure the security of this territory, but also the United States of America.
Okay. You may disagree with that, but it's certainly nothing radical or insane. Yeah, the Space Force commander on the ground, Susanna Myers. This is the email she sent out. Now remember, these people are all above her in the chain of command. Do you think Susanna Myers set aside her communism because she put on the uniform and achieved the rank of colonel? Quote, I do not presume to understand the current politics, but what I do know is the concerns of the U.S. administration discussed by Vice President Vance on Friday are not reflective of space. She just flat out came out and said, I don't care what J.D. Vance said. That's not my agenda. That's not what we believe here. They can't help themselves. Susanna Chatfield, vice admiral, that's a big boy position in the United States Navy. She had to be purged last week. She used to give speeches like this.
And we've also heard about the meaningful participation of women in the security and defense sectors. We have learned about the importance of gender inclusive approaches. We will be left with a professional military ready to get after the needs of the nation with highly talented, diverse, and capable people before us, beside us, and behind us. And I would say that this is exactly what the Women, Peace, and Security agenda seeks to achieve.
My point in this is not that we got a couple out. My point is American communists have been embedding these little tumors inside of our government at every level, including the military, for years. Barack Obama is really the one who turned this into overdrive. So when you think about that, Barack Obama, 2008 to 2016, then we get a little brief four-year reprieve. Donald Trump didn't remove them the first time. Then Joe Biden came in, did this again in overdrive. We now have 12 years of focused communist effort putting these little cancers in every single nook and cranny. We have so much work to do. Remember Linda Fagan?
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
There's a lot of Faggins we have to get rid of. Let's hope we're up to the task. All right.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I'm an Ohio State fan. I was born in Ohio, lived there until I was 10. You really didn't have any choice. Ohio State Buckeyes won the national title, showed up at the White House. That's a good thing. What was less good was J.D. Vance, Vice President of the United States of America. He broke the national championship trophy. JD was a good sport about it in the end, though. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.